from home.
It's home for me.
Home for me, too.
Yeah, I moved to New Hampshire years ago, and now my residence is the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, but I am originally here from the Gulf Coast of Florida. And you employed me from the time that I was 12 to the time that I was 18.
Yes, I did. And you haven't changed a bit.
Well, I'm 50 now. I was just going by the old plaza where the comic book store that you owned was, and I was reminiscing that, wow, I remember that, and what it was like to have comics and all that stuff. And, you know, I got to say that it's nice to be home for a little while. I won't stay long. I'm probably here just for a little while, and then I'll be gone. But... let me turn you down. Apparently, we're trying to do the show on the fly here. So I've got you turned down just a little bit. Captain, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Excellent. So Captain's sitting in as our producer tonight, and he's making sure that that everything goes fine. But we'll be taking calls. The number is 603-283-6160. Captain, is that right?
603-283-6160 is the correct number.
Excellent. So people can call in and talk about anything they want here live. If it's from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern time, pretty much any day of the week, you can call in and talk about whatever's on your mind here on Free Talk Live. But we do have some show prep that we're ready to go with.
Well, you didn't give me part of the show prep.
Which part?
Why is he called the captain?
His name's Captain Kickass. I don't know. It's a on-air name. Captain?
It was a name given to me many, many years ago when I was moving with some people and I spilled my friend Jake's beer, and he was all, well, way to go, Captain Kickass, you spilled my beer. And then after that, I joined a band where everybody in the band already had pseudonyms, so not, you know, their slave names or whatever. And I was like, oh, I'll just use Captain Kickass. And this was, you know, in the mid-90s, so like early internet days. And so forums were a big deal. And, of course, the first rule of the internet was don't put your real stuff out online. And so, you know, I joined a bunch of forums for musicians and that kind of thing. And my handle, of course, was just Captain Kickass. And so that is the origin story in the shortest possible time I could tell it.
Well, thank you. I've lost so much cultural reference in my years now because he's talking about the 90s. I was thinking, that sounds like a Gilbert Shelton underground comic from the late 60s. Captain Kickass would have been great. And then he was talking about forum and then putting your real stuff out there, and everything I thought about was something different than what he was talking about.
Yeah, there's so many underground comics that have been lost to the ages, yes. But I did get to read quite a few of them when I worked at the comic book store back in the 80s, and it was, it was enlightening, let me tell you. So... the story we've got tonight is coming out of Bradenton originally. You sent this one to me, Henry, and it's it's really something to read. So coming from Bradenton.com, which apparently is the website of the former Bradenton Herald, is that right?
Yes, and it's part of the McClatchy Group, which just, I think, got bought out of bankruptcy, but they also own the Miami Herald. It's actually... for people that can remember newspapers and their grandparents telling about them, the McClatchy Group was a pretty prestigious group that actually did some incredible investigative reporting, the Iraq War invasion, abuse in Florida prisons, the Jeffrey Epstein original story back in 2012.
Right. They were responsible for the Miami Herald was responsible for breaking that story. So they were the first on the Jeffrey Epstein train.
Great profession. People should get paid for that stuff.
It's strange how I guess we're farther in the dark than we used to be back in the day, because for some reason everybody wants their news for free on the internet now. And we used to be willing to pay for it. I remember it was a quarter to get a paper back in the day. Now it's like a dollar and a quarter to get a paper. And if you want to deliver it to your house, it's even more than that. But the Bradenton Herald's basically gone out of business. Is that correct? I mean, there is no... mullet wrapper any longer?
The paper's around.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It's abbreviated, and they don't do it on Saturday anymore, but neither does the Tampa Bay Times publish on Saturday anymore. In fact, I don't. I think they may be published less than the Bradenton Herald, even though they have five times the circulation.
There you go.
But this people won't know this name, and hopefully he's not listening. But Daniel Ruth is a great editorial writer in Tampa Bay. And he was on a couple big newspapers, Tampa Tribune before the St. Petersburg Times merged and bought them and called it the Tampa Bay Times. But I used to follow him on News Talk 820 up in Tampa on the weekends because they wanted to have a balanced programming. So they put all the Michael Savages and stuff during the week. And then on the Sunday afternoon ghetto of wrestling, they put Daniel Ruth with me following him as the token progressives.
Right.
But he was talking about the Tampa Tribune that day when they laid off a bunch of longtime workers. It was about 2008 or 2009. And he goes, and that's what happens when you give away your product for free. And since he was probably about to be laid off next, and he, you know, all his friends got laid off, I didn't say to him, you've worked in newspapers that long, and you don't know what your product is. Because he thought the product was what was printed on the pages of the newspaper, at least his content that was printed on the – and it wasn't. The product of the newspapers were the ads and the eyeballs that were looking at the ads. And if the content didn't bring the eyeballs – You aren't doing your job.
Yeah, I think it's sad what's happened to newspapers because there's a long, great history of journalism, but it's journalism ain't what she used to be. I mean, right. Let's take a look at the hard left turn that New York Times has taken, and now it seems like pretty much any news outlet has to take a either right or left look at things, and nobody's just trying to do journalism anymore. By the way, you said you said progressive. Do you consider yourself a progressive?
That's the way I was marketing myself back then.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, sometime later on, I marketed myself as independent. Let people listen to decide. But yeah, start me out as progressive, and then see what you think of me after you hear me talk.
All right. Well, Free Talk Live's traditionally a libertarian show, but my opportunity to put a longtime broadcaster and friend on the air, I took it. I'm hoping to do the weekend shows with you here on the Gulf Coast of Florida in the WWPR studios.
The oldest broadcast radio station in Manatee County on the south side of Tampa Bay since like 1945.
Yeah, it's funny. Manatee County, it used to run the whole of Florida, the South Florida, all Fort Myers and everything was down Manatee County, but it slowly got sectioned out as Florida got settled. Air conditioning, I think, is really what was the big thing that got Florida settled. But John Ringling was selling a lot of lots back in the day before air conditioning was even heard of.
Don't get me started on the history around here because we'll go uber local and I will be fascinating myself, but nobody else.
Let's talk about this story.
Yes.
It's out of Clewiston, so I know there's some rednecks involved. Florida principal won't be charged in paddling, and the family's lawyer is disappointed. Now, we're going to play this audio from this, and I got to say, ladies and gentlemen, the audio from this is a little on the shocking side. So prepare yourself, gird yourself for a little something here. Henry, you ready?
I've got it ready. Hopefully it won't flip back to a commercial, but I tested it right here. The first sound you hear is the striking of the six-year-old child, and then you will hear the voices of the principal, I believe it is, principal and the assistant, and the mother is being talked to.
Tell you what, the clock here in my studio thing is a little off, so I was let's just hold on to it for just a second.
That's
here.
Fine.
Make sure we got it right. And
Can I also just say, for the people listening, be careful, because it's very disturbing. You really need to prepare yourself to listen to this, because I was disturbed when I first heard it, and I know you are, too.
Free Talk Live, 603-28...
Free Free Talk Live.
Call in. Talk about anything that's on your mind. It's Mark with you.
And Henry.
Right. That's what we do here on Free Talk Live. We're live from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 days a week. Well, by live, I mean we produce a new show. There are a few days a week where we're producing a show during the day, and you can't call in. But it's rare. So the number, 603-283-6160, 603-283-6160, and you can get on the air just like several callers who are waiting in. But, Henry, we got to pay the tees, as they say in the business, and we've got to play the audio from the spanking in Clewiston.
Oh, you're gonna let that go, right? You think people are prepared for this?
I think so. I'm hoping. We warned them.
Okay. The first sound you hear is, as I said before the break, is going to be the striking by the adult on the child.
The principal.
And then you are going to hear, I guess, the persuasive argument on why the child should be good as the principal tells it to the child. So you'll tell me if I get this too far to the mic. I think we should have told them that the mother is watching all this happen. In fact,
recorded it.
Asked them to apply the corporal punishment
That's correct.
To the child because she didn't want to. But she did want to film them with her camera, which is how we have this audio. There's about 30 seconds left. Yes.
I thought that one was kind of interesting, the calm down before you get sick. This is what I would say about spanking, corporal punishment. First off, generally public schools are not my favorite places in the world. I think that, they're a lowest common denominator kind of place. And, don't expect your kid to be treated well in an institution that has been failing to provide a competitive education against private schools for decades, centuries. And but what I'm hearing is that, I don't think you can spank and for it to sound good. We never spanked my son, Jack. He's 13. And I know that there are people out there that think the kids are rotten if they're not spanked. That doesn't mean he didn't get discipline. He's been put in timeout and, you take things away and say, hey, you don't settle down and that iPad's going away.
You're talking about spanking. There was much more than spanking going on. There was mental abuse. There was psychological abuse. And what you also don't know if you haven't read the story, I mean, I know you've read the story, but yep. I'm talking to the audience now, is that the Clewiston, where the school is, the employees, including the teachers and principals of that school district, are not supposed to apply corporal punishment to children that age. They're prohibited from that. But they took it upon themselves not only to spank that child, but to do the psychological bullying of the adult right in front of, not just what happened to the child between those adults, what happened to the humiliation of having it happen in front of the mother and the whole dynamic of the mother-daughter relationship?
Well, as I understand, the mother asked for the spanking. I think that gets complicated, right? When the mom says, yeah, go ahead and spank the kid, I feel like the to me, that takes much of the onus off of the principal. I think it's weird in the whole thing. And it's and by the way, the kid was vandalizing a desk. Is that basically right?
She scratched the screen, the touch screen of whatever they were using for the online class.
Yeah, in a purposeful manner.
Oh, as purposeful as I guess a six-year-old gets. And I think the mother asking them to do it, she probably thought that they were going to strike the child. I'm pretty sure about that. I don't know if she knew the bullying and the psychological abuse that was going to impart on there.
Well, I find it disingenuous that the mom on one hand says, sure, go ahead and spank the kid, and then runs off to a lawyer and shows the video and says, hey, let's sue. I mean, that kind of sounds like...
No, I think the lawyer probably said that.
Indeed.
I think that the mother... I'm going to give the kindness of my heart to that mother, that she wanted the corporal punishment applied in a way that she thought a professional would do it. And then when she saw the bullying, and she did take the video to be sure, maybe she was, you know, premeditating this, but if she wasn't, and then she sees what happens, what is she going to do but go for some kind of relief and talk to a lawyer?
Well, I would say the first thing you do is say, well, maybe this school isn't for my kid, and I'm going to figure out how to send my kid elsewhere. But
arrange the transportation and arrange
any
possible tuition.
It's not easy.
No. Are you going to put the link of this on your website?
You better believe it. I'm going to send it out and tell
you. So I want people to look at that, and maybe whenever they get around to it, they can comment and whatever. But look at that. And when you hear spanking, do you think what happened with that teacher, or rather that principal, and a six-year-old, not even close to being fully formed psychologically, what she was doing and that power dynamic? And what about the principal that was doing that? She knew she was bullying, and that wasn't anywhere near what an application of corporal punishment by a professional would look like.
Well, I wouldn't know what I think that an application of corporal
professional
punishment
marine maybe
should look like. I was surprised that there was a paddle involved.
You've never been paddled at school?
No, never. They had a piece of wood that they threatened us with as like kindergartners, and that was sufficient for me. No, I never got paddled at school. I did get paddled by my parents on a rare occasion. I mean, I can remember a couple of times, and I'm sure that there were times when I didn't remember. I was younger or something like that. I didn't not paddle my son out of any kind of trauma or anything like that. I just always thought it looks bad. Like, it's difficult to – I've never seen a situation where corporal punishment was applied and a video was taken, and you're like, yeah! You know, like you're just never rooting for the person applying corporal punishment. I figured this is something that we can do using it.
I know we have people waiting, and maybe sometime later in the program, a peer of mine from the class of 1974, I was 75, a female, the pastor's wife at my church, was paddled by a male principal, and I'll tell you the procedures of how that worked back in Bradenton 40 some odd years.
Carl Wattner, longtime proponent of a voluntary society, died last December. You may have seen his articles published on his website, voluntarist.com, in his newsletter, The Voluntarist, The Mises Institute, or elsewhere over the last 40 years. His newest book, I Must Speak Out, Volume 2, The Best of the Voluntarist, is now available via Liberty Under Attack Publications. LibertyUnderAttack.com/voluntarist.
Talk Live. Call in. Talk about whatever's on your mind. It's Mark with you.
Henry here.
That's right. The number, 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. And I promise we're going to get to calls here.
Isn't my last name, by the way.
It's not.
Henry is here. Is what I
you used
to
your
say.
Last name on the air on
Henry Raines
for years.
Yes,
I not me. No, thanks. I used it
as pro wrestling too.
That's right. You were hammering Henry Raines in pro wrestling.
Even worse, as the promoter, I used my real name so everybody could find me to sue me afterwards.
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea.
People don't care about that.
I want to real quick talk about Bitcoin.com. If you are a neophyte when it comes to cryptocurrency, it's a good idea for you to learn about this new and important technology. I mean, people are talking about it all over the place right now. 2021 appears to be the year of cryptocurrency. The Federal Reserve printing all its money and devaluing the U.S. dollar is, well, it's one of the big causes. And Bitcoin is the 400-pound gorilla of cryptocurrency. Go check out Bitcoin.com. And right there, you'll see Get Started. You'll see they'll show you some videos. They have wallets. They have ways to buy Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash. They have the opportunity for you to, you know, post on forums. They've got all kinds of things there at Bitcoin.com. And if you are familiar with cryptocurrency, news.bitcoin.com has all the news that you need. You can subscribe to their RSS feed and get it there. news.bitcoin.com. So, Henry, this actually is a call-in talk show, so I'm going to go ahead and bring on some callers. Let's first go to David in Michigan. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Well, good evening, gentlemen.
Now, how are you, David?
I'm a little confused.
Yep.
Captain Kickass and Henry are one?
No.
No.
Captain is in New Hampshire. In our main studio, and Henry and I are in a satellite studio that we have set up, that we finally got some stuff going. It took 3 weeks of playing with audio and that sort of thing to be able to do the show remotely.
Yeah, that is a pretty good deal with the electronics nowadays, and that kind of what I want to say to begin with is that you brought up the newspapers.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think of 50 years ago, I had my first paper out. Besides shoveling snow and raking leaves and cutting grass, selling golf balls at the municipal Muni golf course.
Just the ones you found on the lake?
No, it was a golf course.
Yeah, but so usually kids would get the golf balls from the lakes and the sand pits and things like that.
Well, I ended up actually long drive championships back in the 90s. I set a world record at 365 yards, 17 inches. Yet, of course, technology came on and guys are a lot bigger.
They got those 400 the big heads in the drivers.
Oh, yeah.
David, what about newspapers?
My newspaper route was a thick paper. Ads, a lot of coverage. And nowadays, even online, well, first of all, the paper back then cost, what, 20 cents a day? Maybe a dollar on Sunday?
50 years ago, not even that. Not down here.
$5 for a Jackson Citizen Patriot newspaper, that's what it's called.
Hmm.
Online, competing with their print, the print's $5 on a Sunday.
That's a big paper.
It's as thin as my underwear.
Really? Yep.
Take your word on that.
It is the old days.
The content, you know, aggressive journalists, hell, I should probably be one. Why aren't they covering the, you know why? I believe, and there's a lot of us patriots here in Michigan, with our evil Gretchen Whitmer as governor of the state of great state of Michigan, I'm a United States Marine. I took that course and got an honorable discharge. I got an honorable discharge with my head still attached to my body, which is important.
What's the conspiracy
still,
about Whitmer
look at
and what you
all
believe?
The crap that's going on, our information is not getting to us. And that's why I call you guys, because you do inform us. Captain Kickass, I'll let you go on that. Thanks.
Well, I'm Mark. Captain Kickass is listening, and he's probably pop in here in a second. Captain? So, anyway, I'm not sure what the conspiracy is.
Well, first off, I forgot what his first name was, but I was interested in what you were saying. Pardon me?
David.
I appreciate what you were doing with your paper route 50 years ago. I don't know if we're the same age, but 50 years ago, that would have been an option. You know, they were hiring 14, 15-year-old boys only as far as I know, to do that. But I wasn't as hardworking and as industrious as you, but I did have some friends that did. And they would pass off the collection, not just you need to do the collection, but if you don't collect, you get the deduction.
Right.
They don't support you with the collection, at least the paper down here didn't. So that was a hard job, and I give Dave a lot of credit for that.
I can't remember what the movie was, but there was this important movie, and there was a newspaper kid in it that was constantly following around this guy, the main character, around. I want my $2 or whatever it was to try to collect the newspaper money.
All right.
Yeah, and it just goes to show kids had to do that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Dustin in Kansas. Dustin, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello, guys. If you let me share a few points, this is a snuffleupagus, like the sniffles and the mass of the scars. But whoopsie to my firefighters in town. I'm trying to report corruption conspiracy to the website dustinthewind.com, and then you can also look me up on it. FOP, Fraternal Order of Police Bulletin.
You got your website out there, dustinthewind.com. That's fine. What are we talking about?
Well, one, I was talking about Tea Party and my sheriff officers and my court services to tell the presses that they're listening to all my advices, and that this government has concentration camp victims such as the mentally ill from their abuses, and I just wanted to make those few points.
Well, let's talk about the mentally ill and the incarceration of them. I think it's very difficult from a liberty standpoint to justify insane asylums where people are against their will incarcerated, presuming that they have not harmed anyone. But
they can go to a retirement home.
You want to retire? You want to put mentally ill in retirement homes?
That's where they usually go unless they're and definitely confined, and there should be an insanity plea that Bill Clinton took off the inmates court confession about insanity pleas.
Insanity pleas were always difficult. They're even harder now, but they still exist. You can make an insanity plea,
and then you have to, if it's a minor infraction, you have to face a competency evaluation, which I know in my locals. See, I'm mentally disabled myself, and I have this snuffleupagus voice, like the sniffles and the masses of scars. But
what is a snuffleupagus voice, like the sniffles and masses of scars?
That's a Sesame Street.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Dustin. I appreciate it. The number, 603-513-2... Excuse me, I'm getting the wrong number. 603-283-6160. Free Talk Live.
I couldn't find his Styx fan club.
Yes, it is Free Talk Live. What day is it? Oh, it's like Saturday, man. Somehow, some way, we seem to have lost our remote session. And I'm not sure exactly why. However, I am still here. And if you're watching on our DLive, Twitch, Vaughn, or Facebook streams, you may notice that most of the cameras are pointed at facsimile Mark, and that is because Mark is broadcasting remotely, or at least he was up until mere moments ago. And he doesn't seem to be broadcasting at the moment. So I am going to just take over and talk about some things today. We do have some calls holding. We'll get to those. The telephone number, of course, is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. And the name of the program is Free Talk Live. And that's because, well, you get to call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. And that's kind of what we do here. So, without any further ado, we are going to go to the phones because we are called Free Talk Live. Let's start with Mike. You're calling from Maine. Mike, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. I heard you. I'm living up here in Maine now, but I heard you talking about the old mullet wrapper. That's what we used to call the Braden and Harold.
Yeah. You know, sadly, sadly, Mark has dropped off of the broadcast for reasons unknown. And I was hoping to have him talk to you about this. What I can do if you want is I could put you back on hold and we could see if we get Mark back, because I think that you and he would have a very interesting conversation. Or you can say whatever's on your mind. It's up to you.
Yeah, go ahead. Put me on hold.
Okay, cool. Stand by, Mike. Let's go instead to... Let's go to Major Payne calling from Michigan. Major Payne, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, I had some kudos to give to Mark, too. I was going to entitle him. Remember how you two was having a pissing match about names have to be granted? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna name him Minister Mark, because I confessed to him on the air about getting busted as being Fred from Hillman.
He is a minister.
Yeah, sorry, joining me is Bonnie.
Well, I'm a carpenter, just like Jesus was. I reckon I hit the nail on the head again, didn't I?
No pun intended. I didn't see that one coming, nor did any... No, I was trying to make a saw pun there, but I totally failed.
Didn't see or saw.
Yeah, well, that was so saw sad.
I didn't pick up my hammer and saw.
Sharpen your blade, boy. Sharpen your blade. I got a treat for y'all.
Uh-oh.
I'm a carpenter, as I said. And I do rehabs. I found a 1951 Detroit Free Press.
Uh-huh.
Okay? The whole freaking thing. And you were talking about how newspapers are used to tell the truth. And in every city, there was a Democratic and a Republican newspaper. They would present different sides. They would battle against one another, right?
Okay.
The Free Press, I believe, was the liberal side. I think the News was the standard side. But here, I'm going to read you the headline from this paper. Troopers kill convict in putting down riot. This is in Jackson Prison.
Wow.
9 guards at Jackson still hostage. Fire set. I ain't even put my eyes on yet. Or turn the lights on neither. I give you guys some... I mean, this is the ghost from the past.
Wait, what? 9 guards were held hostage in a prison?
Yeah, so...
Yeah, 9 guards still held hostage. Fire set.
This happens every now and again, and probably more frequently than it used to, because the number of prisons in the United States has grown and continues to grow with really no end in sight.
The leader of the world in prison population.
Jackson has always been good guy, what should I say, a cesspool. It just grown and grown. Okay, the next category down in a sidebar, 104 diehards defy tear gas and shotguns.
104?
Long arms of the thief are the cops' gems. Oh, my goodness. This is back in the day when they used to put the truth in the paper.
Yeah.
I guess I'm getting that here.
Okay. Well, those days are long gone.
This thing is almost 2 foot wide. The old paper from 51.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you know,
I used
your,
to...
Your daddy could make your mama disappear when he opened the paper at the dinner table or the breakfast table.
Yeah, he definitely would. I'm old enough to have actually delivered newspapers And
I recall, I made my first honest dollar.
Yeah, I do
I made
recall.
My first honest dollar that way.
Specifically, my grandfather and my adopted father both would, at the dinner table or the breakfast table or both, depending on the day, open up the newspaper, and you really couldn't see anything except their hands on either side of the newspaper as they sort of read through whatever. And occasionally they would make comments about, oh, can't believe this is happening, or, oh, hey, that's good news, or whatever it is.
You're making your wife sound even more like that 70s show than it did before to me, because you grew up in Wisconsin. You were alive in the 70s, so.
I was born in 72, so.
Yeah, they were older
than
you.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Because they were teenagers, but still, you always make me think of that 70s show.
Okay. Well, thanks, Bonnie.
That must be Bonnie. You got such a sweet, sugary voice. I love you, honey. I truly do.
Oh, Major Payne, we appreciate the call. Have a great night. I am ill-prepared for today. Well, no, actually, I am prepared for today. I just need to go and grab my show prep because I had some fun stuff that I wanted to talk about today. If this very thing actually happened, and we'll find that out momentarily. We have this from thehill.com. Are you familiar with Trader Joe's, Bonnie?
Yeah.
So Trader Joe's apparently will no longer require customers to wear masks as a store policy. Now, the CDC recently has said that, you know, if you got the vaccine, it's cool for you to take your mask off. And then a bunch of governors in a bunch of different states have lifted their mask mandates. But not all states. Some of them.
And not all cities.
Not right.
Keen.
Even in New Hampshire, where the state mandate is lifted, certain cities, or I guess they're cities technically, still have their own mandates in place. But Trader Joe's apparently says, no. We're not going to require you to wear masks.
Unfortunately, it's not really like that. I saw this story, and they said if you're unvaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask.
Oh,
I mean, you have to wear a mask,
so it's a misleading headline.
Yep.
Far be it from the press or for the press to, you know, write a misleading headline. I was under the impression that this was them just saying, you know, taking a stand and saying, yeah, you know, we're not going to require it. But you're right, it goes on to say those who have been successfully fully inoculated, defined as 2 weeks past the last required dose of vaccine, won't have to wear masks outdoors or indoors and won't have to maintain physical distancing. Yeah. It says, however, the guidelines don't apply in healthcare settings, correctional facilities, and homeless shelters. The guidance also says that people still need to follow rules set by local businesses and workplace guidelines, meaning that private businesses could still require masks. In addition, people are still advised to wear masks when required, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. The Trader Joe's rule comes on the heels of another change that was quietly adopted. The company told USA Today that it is dropping the senior hours at its stores, except where it is required. So during the great COVID debacle that the United States government and all of the governors seemingly participated in, some stores decided that they were going to have, like, Wednesdays early, like, between, if they open at 7, between 7 and 10 a.m. It's seniors only, or at least that's when they wanted the seniors to come in, so that the seniors could be sort of isolated and do their shopping without being surrounded by, well, the rest of humanity, apparently.
That sounds like a policy that makes a lot more sense than everybody put dirty cloths on your face that God knows where they've been. Honestly, it doesn't seem like that bad of a policy.
Face diapers. That's right. So, yeah, thanks for the misleading headline, thehill.com. I don't appreciate your lack of journalistic integrity, although, to be fair, my expectations were low.
Mine were with Trader Joe's, too. That's why I clicked on it. I was like, what?
More Free Talk Live is on the way. Hour number two coming up next.
A newly recruited search and rescue officer, Marshall Hunter, was resigned to a life of rescuing wayward spacefarers and derelict satellites. But when a billionaire couple goes missing, his own ship is disabled during the rescue. With communication satellites suddenly failing and lunar mineral shipments disappearing in transit, the crew suspects it's more than a coincidence, and Hunter must choose between salvation and sacrifice to save his crewmates and their civilian charges. Frontier by Patrick Childs and BingBooks.com.
Talk Live.
That's right, it is Free Talk Live, and you are free to call in and talk live here on the airwaves.
It's Mark with you.
And Henry with you from the interim flagship terrestrial studio of Free Talk Live on the Gulf Coast.
That's right, we're here on the Gulf Coast of Florida and WWPR. It's nice to be back in a radio station, I must say. It would have been nice had the power stayed up and we were able to do the last segment.
What, you think this is like a continuous power supply budget issue? Or
you know, I think we need to put that in the budget.
We have paper towels in the bathroom and toilet paper. Quit complaining.
Indeed.
I just want to say that, Captain...
pretty well here.
Hey
the
guys.
The number, 603. What was that, Captain?
I just wanted to say that Captain Kickass does not wear a cape. But he did save the day, so
indeed.
Yeah, you're
Thank
welcome.
You, Captain. The number, 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. We're going to get right to the phone calls here.
The captain didn't mention spandex, though.
Well, no man can reveal what he's wearing under his normal jeans. Mm-hmm. Mike, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on, guys?
All's well.
Did you get back with Mark?
I'm here. This is Mark.
Hey, Mark. We used to call it the mullet wrapper.
Yeah, Bradenton Herald was called the mullet wrapper.
And in the old Sarasota Tribune. Remember?
Yep.
Yeah, I lived down there 70s, 80s, and 90s. Lived out on Anna Marie Island. So, you know, it's kind of...
Wait. Mike.
Yeah,
in the 70s on Anna Maria Island. What? Yeah. Where did you hang out?
Well, basically, at the beach lounge in Bradenton Beach.
Ah.
With all the commercial fishermen down there. You know where Trader Jack's was?
Yeah, I'm thinking the Stumble Inn if you were my age.
Yeah. I'm a little older than you, I think.
Yeah.
But
I can tell you're in a classier place
down
than I was.
Yeah, I did security work down there for years. And basically, I did security work for the Allman Brothers. They lived out on Anna Maria.
Yeah, well,
remember where Peter Bernard's was? Remember the restaurant? Yeah, Peter Bernard's. Well, the owner had a house right there on the Intercoastal Waterway. And basically, after Dwayne Allman was killed, Dickie Betts' mother lived in Sarasota. So he told the band, if we don't go back to Florida, I'm quitting. So they all moved down to Anna Maria Island. And they lived in a house on the Intercoastal right next to Peaver and Arch. So I got a call from, I won't mention his name, but I'll tell you, it's Chuck Chambers. He used to be a bail bondsman and private detective out in Bradenton. He said, you interested
Mike?
In doing this?
Chuck Chambers used to be my neighbor.
But he's
passed.
Yeah, he'd be on the old bike riding around and stuff. But, you know, all us guys that did security knew each other. So I said, yeah, I'll take it on. So it turned out to be the Allman Brothers. And but Dickie, you know, basically, we almost lost him 2 years ago. He fell down, hit his head pretty hard, had a blood clot. And but he made it through it. He's still in Sarasota.
Yeah, he's an old man now, that's for sure. Mike, I appreciate calling in with the reminiscing. And Allman Brothers are a fixture down here on the Gulf Coast of Florida. This is where I grew up. This is where you grew up, Henry.
Absolutely. This is where I was born.
You're a little older than I was.
Good since I employed you.
Yeah, that's right. You were my boss at the comic book store when I was 12 years old.
Right. I was not that kind of an entrepreneur that I would have been employing you younger than you.
Mike, thanks for the call. Let's go to Jet calling east of the Mississippi.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on you. But
go ahead.
Next generation of Allman Brothers children are coming up. They have a successful website. Just Google them. You'll find them. But they're all over the place.
Are they playing in bands?
Two successful bands.
Excellent. Chet, you're on Free Talk Live.
Okay. I just wanted to call in because it's a couple days before the end of the tax terrorism season.
Yes.
On the 17th. And remind the audience that you live in fear of the very people you have hired to serve and protect you.
It's true. The IRS is the most terrifying organization to an American. I suspect the American military is the most terrifying organization to somebody who's living in, say, the Middle East or something.
Right.
I didn't know the IRS were shooting black people.
Yeah. Well, and another thing to you as a captain, I wanted to kind of make a modification on what you said the other day about taxation coming from tithing. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. It is my belief that tithing, you know, was the predecessor to taxation, as it was defined as something around, you know, 10% of your income was contributed to the church, and then the religion
of
state is
incorrect.
Okay, go ahead.
That's incorrect. No, taxation, of course, came from slavery, and it has returned to slavery. Tithing only came about after, you know, Moses left the wandering in the desert thing, and he came down and he gave the commandments and all that. But then he redid that when they were going to go into Canaan as Deuteronomy, and tithing only has to do with food for the poor, fatherless, widowed, and alien. And it was done every third year. What a lot of people don't even know, what's funny is I've even asked pastors, do you know what the year of the tithe is? And they go, you got me. And I go, well, it says right there, every third year you're supposed to bring your tithes. But anyway, getting back to the taxation thing, it's slavery because if you have to turn over your time and energy, which is the initial input to the money you get, then you are somebody's slave.
I do tend to think that it is the modern evolution, but we've had taxes for as long as we've had the state, right? I mean, not 10,000 years. There's been
before there was a state, when there was just a guy with a big club.
Yeah, right. The head guy of the group said, "Gimme."
It started out as what they called tribute, where let's say a conqueror would go into a land, and not only would he rape and pillage, but he would demand to extract a certain amount of something, you know, from the people that they conquered. That was tribute. And
if you were going to just have your own, I mean, surely there's a place that hasn't had been conquered too long, and the existence of the state still needed to be bolstered. I mean, people weren't going to run around with pointy sticks for free.
No, what I'm getting is taxation came from tribute, then from slavery, first of all, then moved into tribute, and now it's back to slavery because, you know, we are indentured, so to speak, by the fact that other people, just other humans, can somehow magically demand that we give them money. I don't understand.
It's just a bunch of people we haven't met. That's for sure. Chet, thanks for the call.
Yeah, I thought tithing came from Abraham when he gave a tenth of his war spoils to Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and Abraham was before Moses. I'm confused.
Well, let's just talk about tax. I think that it doesn't particularly matter where it came from.
Let me take one sidebar to get to that.
Sure.
So that's 10%. The tithing was 10%.
And by the way, I would say that if government has a legitimacy, it should never collect more than God did. So therefore, a 9.9% tax would be as high as
it should be allowed. But if we go to the New Testament in Acts, after Jesus, you know, went off and left his disciples in charge, they had, I forget the name of the husband and wife, that sold their stuff, and they kept half for themselves, and being caught in the lie, the Lord struck both of them dead because they were supposed to give everything to the group.
Not everything they were supposed to give. They weren't supposed to lie about what they said. That was Ananias and Sapphira.
No. But, well, they lied about it because they were told to give everything, and they thought 50% was fair enough. They gave that.
I would have to revisit that story because my understanding of the story when it was taught to me at Braden and Christian was the problem wasn't how much they gave, but the problem was lying about how they did it.
Well, of course, they don't like giving 100% of their material goods to Braden and Christian School, but all those communists and acts, they said everything belongs to everybody.
There was a lot of communism in early Christianity, there's no doubt, but there's a lot of everything. Some of them were saying, hey, you can't eat meat, and you can't do this, don't drink the blood of animals, who knows, whatever. The number, 603-283-6160, 603-283-6160, here on Free Talk Live. Yeah! Free Talk Live. Call in. Talk about whatever's on your mind. It's Mark with you.
And Green.
The number, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And we, in fact, have a line open for you right now. Henry, after the FBI raid that occurred on March the 16th on the Free Talk Live studios,
yes,
we had previously had more phone lines. So now we're down to two, and we have gotten an update from Ian, our main host, who has been incarcerated for 8 weeks.
How long have you been partners with Ian, or known Ian?
Known him since 99, been in business with him, if you want to call a radio show business, since 2002. So
22 years of friendship.
Right. And wow. Well, I've known you longer, but you're about it. So, yeah, you can call in 603-283-6160, and we'll work with these two lines that we've got. Let's go. Oh, by the way, if you want to donate, you can go to thecrypto6.com. It's the numeral 6, or you can spell out 6. It doesn't matter. Thecrypto6.com. You can read what happened. You can watch some videos. If you want to donate, that's fine, too. Whatever it's good for you. Thecrypto6.com. Jerome, you're on Free Talk Live.
Greetings and salutations.
Hey, Jerome.
Yeah, I just want to talk about this Matt Gaetz story. Can it get any juicier, sleazier, dirty, nastier, huh?
I don't know. I'm just wondering. I'm thinking of what was Wiener's online name?
It's not. And the answer, Jerome, is yes, it is. And you called at the right time. You called at the most perfect time because I know Joel Greenberg. The person that got that, probably better than I'm going to admit, but well enough. So,
hey, you said you know him? Hey,
yes, he had been on my radio show, and I had visited him at his Seminole County Tax Collector office.
Oh, yeah. Did he have any teenage girls for you to, proclivity with, whatever they call
it? No, but he did have... a fellow member of the Florida Blockchain Business Association that I got him a job with Joel.
Look, he's already spilled his beans to the FBI, and then he's throwing Gaetz under the bus. Why is he still in office? Why?
Because he got elected. Isn't democracy great? Screaming?
Go ahead.
Jerome, you just have to let the process work. What was that old pastor in the 1700s, Jonathan Edwards, that did the story about the spider dangling on a string above the candle? You got to enjoy the entertainment value.
Process? Hey, that's the party to scream about fake elections and stealing elections and it's all Liz Cheney under the bus the other day. By the way, the only reason she got that job because who her dad knew. And she's like, oh, I'll never leave the party. Did you vote for Trump? Yes, I voted for him. Do you regret that? Do you regret your vote? Yeah, now I do. Yeah, right, okay. So, hey, where was she before he got to office and all that stuff he was saying, huh? How can women support somebody like that? They talk about Bill Clinton all the time. They go back 20 years and talk about Joe Biden all the time. Sex trafficking. 17-year-old girls, man. 17.
This is the Matt Gaetz you're bringing this back to.
That's right.
Well, I got some questions about this. As I understand, these girls were sugar babies, which is new modern-day hookers.
The men were sugar daddies. I didn't know
that's what they're called, sugar babies. It's sugarbabies.com, I believe, is one of these websites.
You know what? They ain't letting Jelaine Maxwell out of prison anytime soon, okay?
Probably not.
And she's involved in the same kind of mess that Gaetz is in. But he's a man and she's a woman. So she didn't have sex with anybody, okay? But she was... proclivity, she procured people for
Presumably Jeffrey Epstein did. We're certain that Bill Clinton did. Probably Bill Gates.
Look, this guy's in the boardroom with the girl.
Your best caller, smartest caller up until just a second ago. You can't equate Ghislaine Maxwell with Joel Greenberg. I mean, just the level of success and income is very disparate.
He's in the boom-boom room, okay? No wonder he likes Trump. They're both cut from the same cloth. You know, I like to grab women, and when you're a celebrity, get away with it. And then the other guy's, oh, we love Trump. Yeah, I know why you love him, because you just like him.
Well, thanks for the call, Jerome. Look, when you've got democracy, you're going to have people getting elected that you wish you didn't. Because the people that are going to get elected are the ones that are most successful at marketing themselves in front of the public. And the public is going to vote for whomever. Look, I mean, Trump got an office. Biden got an office. Biden was probably the single worst choice that was available on the Democratic ticket this go-around. And certainly Bernie Sanders has been jilted and robbed two times going.
Well, before the inauguration, I would have agreed with you about that.
What did the inauguration do?
I got to see the team and stuff that was put in place, and I think they're very efficient. You may not like the policies, but they're efficient what they do. But let's take it back to the perverted sex. I mean, that's what everybody wants to talk about. And my experience with Joel Greenberg, for people that don't know Joel Greenberg, he was the first tax collector in the U.S. to accept Bitcoin for payment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
He also, when he took over, you know, in the Trumpian spirit that he entered that office with, he started packing, open carrying a gun in the office of the Seminole County Tax Collector and encouraged his employees to do that too, because really they're all deputies of a law enforcement agency in a way in enforcing the tax collection, so you've got to have your gun there. He impersonated officers with his tax collector bat, pulled people over in his SUV.
He did pull people over.
Cut in front of him. And then that was the part I knew about when I invited him to be on the radio show.
Did he have flashing lights? How did he pull somebody over without flashing lights?
Yeah, he had something that he could put up. You got to be ready for different circumstances. Are you telling me you don't have one of those in your car?
I have had them because I was a volunteer firefighter. I don't have one.
Okay, so look in the mirror, Mr.
I don't pull
radio
anybody
host.
Over. I've never pulled anybody over.
Well, you're a little bit behind schedule, aren't you?
Yeah.
So then I found out that the Seminole County – now, he came in on an anti-corruption from the multi-year Republican incumbent, ready to clean house, clean up the Republican Party, drain that swamp over in Seminole County. They found $400,000 of questionable credit card purchase. We're not even getting into the sex trafficking yet. He actually got a – what do they call those stimulus loans? PPP?
PPP funds, I think.
He got a loan – the day after he was indicted by bribing an SBA official.
Oh my God.
So he is very efficient. But go ahead. You still look like you got other stuff on your mind.
It's Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Worden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing, too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Worden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
Free Talk Live? Oh, Sorry about that. I had some different audio coming in.
Have the mic,
the break.
Did they hear my private key for my Bitcoin wallet?
Yeah, I think they did. The number 603-283-6160.
It wasn't that mnemonic. I'm sorry. I stepped on your phone number.
603-283-6160. We got two lines open right now here on Free Talk Live. This live edition. Anytime, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., you can call in and talk on Free Talk Live. So we were talking in the last segment about this Matt Gaetz and
Joel Greenberg.
Yeah, and several guys that are being swept up here, young politicians, young Republican politicians in the state of Florida. And the juiciest part appears to be the underage prostitution. Now, merely
taking a minor across state lines for the purpose of sex.
That too.
You don't even have to get into the prostitution part before you're breaking a law.
Indeed. Now, Florida's a big place. And one thing I sort of wonder is that I believe, correct me if I'm wrong here, I'm not really up on my age of consent laws. I believe the age of consent in Florida is 16.
Well, there's no age of consent to be a prostitute.
That's correct.
Being a prostitute is illegal in the state of Florida.
They have to prove that they spent money on them, and that gets a little complicated.
In the old days it does, but now with Venmo, it's much easier to track that stuff.
Yeah, but you could be compensating somebody for dinner and a variety
of
things.
You could put that on the memo, but if there's other texts that say what you want, and you refer to the person in 17 years after 1999, the young lady whose handle that she used, her name handle, I'm not talking about like where President Trump used to grab them by their handle, but it was vintage 1999.
Was her name.
So she was, well,
advertising
she was
what her
clear
age was.
What the year of her birthday was.
Correct.
And so they knew that they were having sex with a minor, these 30-some-year-old gentlemen, or maybe 40, I don't know.
Well, I can say this. I had a 19-year-old girlfriend when I was in my early 30s. It didn't really work out for me because I felt like we weren't communicating the same way. We just didn't understand each other on every level. But, you know, it's not like a relationship can't work out that way. I think of Loretta Lynn, who married, I think, at 14, if I remember correctly, and stayed married to her husband throughout her life.
Yeah, but it seems like me like you were trying to make a point about the 17-year-old.
Well,
and
the point
of
I'm trying to make is a 17-year-old girl can work, and she can consent to work.
Yeah,
she can have sex, and she can consent to have sex, but she can't consent to work having sex, and that gets a little complicated. She can't in this. Of course, in most of the United States, no woman can consent.
So if you get a job at McDonald's, that will get you pregnant and put you on food stamps and welfare that we have to pay the taxes for?
Well, you may meet a fine young man or something.
But the main thing is, these gentlemen knew she was 17.
Yep. And they hold a position, illegal. A lawful position,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They're politicians.
We can Google the law. But it's come to light that, yes, for men those age to have sex with a 17-year-old, it's illegal. These are men with wherewithal and power and influence, and I ask you, Mark Edge, why couldn't they wait another year? Is having sex
that
with a 17-year-old compared to an 18-year-old that much better?
Can you
tell me that, please?
This always escapes me. This is why these guys that get picked up for 17-year-olds not just go for 18-year-olds. But
maybe there's a caller that knows the difference.
The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. I haven't had sex with a girl under the age of 18 since I was under the age of 18. So I don't, this is long in my past. But I will say this, is I think the prostitution laws, I think we should be talking about this. And I think we should be vilifying these guys. But I don't think we should have prostitution laws. I think that if somebody is old enough to have sex, they're old enough to make a bargain in having sex. Because I think that sex is always a bargain. It just depends on what you're getting.
We have an arbitrary age that we choose to let people.
Who's we? I didn't choose it.
All right. Well, there is a law.
There is a law.
Arbitrary law that says when you can drink liquor, when you can buy firearms.
Yep. When you go to a rated R movie.
So if you want to decriminalize, legalize prostitution, and you have an age that is allowed and younger than that is not allowed, then there's
that age would probably be 18. if they were likely, if they were going to legalize prostitution in the state of Florida, and they might as well, considering all the little
Because if it was 21, massage parlors, everybody would be chasing 20-year-olds.
It's so weird. But they have these massage parlors all over the state of Florida where you can go get a massage or a sauna or anything like that. And I'm presuming that that's basically prostitution.
Why don't you ask Robert Kraft? I don't know who he knows.
I don't know who that is.
That's the owner of the New England Patriots.
Okay, he'd get caught in one of these things?
Twice.
Yeah, well, you know.
On camera.
How do they get him on camera?
Well, the amazing thing is he got off of, he got off of the charges that he was charged under because they didn't feel that the cameras that the sheriff's department had placed in the place were legally placed there.
I don't think they were either.
So, but Robert Kraft, owner of the New England Patriots, billionaire, probably at least $500 or $600 million, got off on all of it.
Indeed, and that's how these things work. Hopefully, well, in my opinion, adults can make their decisions on how they decide to interact. So,
for the most part,
well, that's what they should be able to do, in my opinion. So when it comes
there's a whereas or caveat or somewhere under there. I think you libertarians say, you know, you all libertarians, like, until you hurt someone else or you infringe on their liberties or something like that.
Right. Well, they're making decisions together.
Or you don't pay your taxes.
As long as it's consensual, whatever it is, as long as there's consent involved, then fine and dandy. Now, I think that there is an age that young people can't make a decision to have sex. And I think that when politicians do yucky things, we should totally talk about it. So that's kind of how I feel about the Matt Gaetz thing. I think these guys are scummy politicians, but I think all politicians are scummy. And some are better than others, but, you know, ultimately, they just haven't got
yet. Pretty much all people are scummy, too. But we try and rise above them.
Indeed, and we need incentives to do so. So one of the ways that we believe that we make better people is through punishment of children, right? Like, if children do bad things, we punish them.
Better teachers, better parenting.
There's a story out of Clewiston, Florida, that we have talked about recently here in Free Talk Live in the last couple of segments, where a 6-year-old girl scratched in some way a screen of some kind of learning device.
Touch screen.
Now, everything I've seen was it indicated.
Abuse your tax dollars.
Yeah. Everything indicated that it was a sort of intentional scratching. No, it's a 6-year-old, so you decide how intentional.
Like when you tell your 6-year-old, don't touch that, and they touch it. And then you say, don't touch it, and they touch it.
Yep.
And then you sit them down, you take a big old board, and you just smack the hell out of them while you verbally abuse them.
And
everybody's been there.
That's pretty much what occurred here. Now, the mother was consulted, and she agreed to the spanking. And then videotaped.
She suggested the spank. She was told that the girl needed corporal punishment, and the mother said, "I don't want to do that. Will you do it for me?"
And then she videotaped, or audio, you know, off her phone, videoed. There was no tape involved.
And then the principal and the assistant to the principal, who did it, were prohibited to do that by the rules of the school district.
Right.
But they chose to do it anyway.
Right. And they paddled the girl and then sort of told her, don't do that again. And
they didn't say don't do that again. They berated her. They beat her down verbally. They scared the hell out of her. And a little 6-year-old that is imprisoned in that office is not allowed to leave, is supposed to believe that the two adults yelling in her face.
603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live, coming to you live from the Gulf Coast of Florida. It's Mark with you.
Right now, you better tell your mom I'm sorry, and you better not treat her like that either.
That's the audio from a spanking that occurred in Clewiston, Florida. And I must say, it's not pretty content. this whole thing is kind of ugly to watch, and you can go see it. It's on our Twitter feed, our Facebook, you know, all this stuff. It's right available there. Actually, it's not on the Facebook. We stopped posting to Facebook, but you can get it at our Twitter feed. That's twitter.freetalklive.com to sign up for that. And I'd love to hear your opinion on it. The number is 603-283-6160. It's Mark with you.
Henry.
That's right. Henry, we're going to go to John in Nevada. And John, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, John.
I have a couple questions. Hi. I had a couple questions about the benefits of Northern Mariana for crypto enthusiasts.
Yes, I lived in the Northern Mariana Islands for 2 months prior to COVID. The Great Plague drove me off of the island back to Florida to keep an eye on my mother. And I am still considered a resident there. And there is an organization called Crypto Frontier, which you can find at cryptofrontier.org to answer some of your questions. Go ahead, John.
Okay. Well, my first question was, is there a benefit in capital gains tax from living in Northern Mariana, especially with regard to crypto?
Right. No capital gains benefit compares to the Puerto Rico Act 60 benefit, but
there is a benefit. Yeah, I'm somewhat familiar with Puerto Rico, yes.
Yeah, so Puerto Rico, you can sign a contract with the government of Puerto Rico to pay nothing in capital gains after you move. So if you have $100,000 in capital gains and then $200,000 after you've moved, you don't pay tax on the $200,000, but you do pay tax on the $100,000. So in the Northern Marianas...
So, when you move to Puerto Rico then... As my understanding, let's just say you had $100,000 invested in crypto, but it had been invested for several years. Then when you moved to Puerto Rico, you would have to initially pay capital gains to the IRS on whatever the prorated capital gain you'd made on that crypto, whether you had cashed it in or not. Is that correct?
That's correct. So let me explain.
Yeah, explain it to me, because right. You're paying tax on the cost basis or the appreciation?
You're much better at these terms than I am, Henry. This is what you do for a living. So if you bought Bitcoin...
I don't do anything for a living.
If you bought Bitcoin at $100 and then you move to Puerto Rico when it's worth $50,000 and then you sell it when it's worth $60,000. Okay, you got it?
Oh.
You bought it at $100, you're selling it at $60,000, but you moved when it was at $50,000.
Okay.
You don't have to pay capital gains on that last $10,000, but you do have to pay the capital gains on every Bitcoin that you every dollar between $49,900 in
profit. But I thought that if you're in the Marianas, that you only pay half the capital gains rate as the in the U.S. in the United States.
Correct.
So why would you go to do the Puerto Rico thing if you can get half the capital gains rate in the Marianas?
Because you have to pay the IRS on everything until you moved. So the Puerto Rico is still a better deal.
So Marianas, you got to pay everything until you
Yeah, every territory.
Every territory, okay.
Up to the day you moved. Go ahead, John.
Okay, But Northern Marianas would be a lot cheaper for the capital gains tax than in Nevada, it sounds like.
Yes, it's cheaper than every state. I would like to point out that probably the Virgin Islands is the best place that you don't have to make a contract with the government. So Puerto Rico, you may or may not want to move there because of having to deal with the legal system. Immediately when you move to the Marianas, you get a 90% tax break on everything.
Wait, including capital gains?
Yes, but there's no way to get away with the capital gains that you got up to the point that you moved. You simply have to pay those.
Oh, so as far as that goes, it's the same as Puerto Rico.
It's the same as Puerto Rico or any territory. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But
and
it's not
how long
applied
does
at
it
the territory,
take to
10%.
Become a resident of Northern 20%. Mariana?
What was that, John?
How long does it take to become a resident of Northern Mariana?
Days. moments. I declared my residency as soon as I moved. I got my driver's license within 3 days, I think. I think I got my voter's card the next day. I can't remember. It was crazy.
Okay.
So it was fast.
And what was the third place you just named that you said
the Virgin Islands.
You didn't have to make a contract with?
Yeah, Virgin Islands is nice because it's a lot like the U.S. Marianas. Basically, you just go in, you declare yourself a resident, and you're there. Puerto Rico, it's a much more extensive process.
Right. And these Virgin Islands are American Virgin Islands.
Yeah, the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Okay.
I was just in Puerto Rico last week, John, and just checking this whole thing out. And I'll say this. There's an American section that's so American. I mean, it's just wonderful. I enjoyed the people when I was there. I had a wonderful time for like the 4 days that I was in Puerto Rico.
Oh, well, that's
the whole island is American.
It is, but it's not necessarily English speaking.
Culturally American, you mean?
Indeed. They call it the mainland anyway, so they're not entirely sure they're American either.
Yeah.
Can you become an expatriate? Give up your citizenship
you
to a more favorable?
Hold on, just one second, John. Go ahead. Let's ask a final question here.
What do you think about the prospect of statehood for Puerto Rico, which might like ruin some of that?
Oh, that would absolutely ruin that. And it's a terrible idea. Everybody there seems to think so, that it's amongst the Americans that are living there. So thank you for the call. That's an interesting point because people do use the term expat for Americans that are living in Puerto Rico. It's not the preferred term necessarily, but it's kind of like there's not a good term, you know. They don't want to say the white folks because that's not entirely true either. They don't want to say anything. They don't know what to say. So they usually use the term mainlander or something like that to try to be as, you know, generous as possible.
But can you give up your citizenship, go to a nation that will accept you and put you through the citizenship process and give you a more favorable treatment of those capital gains, or do you still have to somehow pay the U.S.?
You will absolutely have to pay the U.S. So if you decide to give up your U.S. citizenship and move to Bulgaria or whatever,
that would be the date you would have to pay the gains.
You have to pay 50%, 50% of your net worth in tax upon exiting. Now, most people that exit don't have, you know, a great deal, but, I mean, say that was
well, there's a few whales out there, I hear.
There are a few whales.
And I would think that they would want to do it as soon as possible before the capital gains proposal of Joe Biden comes through.
I think that if you live in another country and you're able to sort of bank there and these sorts of things, you've figured out how to actually operate. It's if you want to live in the United States and then sort of pretend to be a resident of something else, as people have accused me of doing, then that's when you're really going to fall on your face. You actually have to do it. So if you move to Singapore and you can figure out how to get a Singapore you know, sort of a bank account and that sort of thing, then you'll be good. But if you're going to go back and forth and, you know, be an American half the year and a Singaporean half the year, things aren't going to go well.
No, I'd already given up on the expatriate question line when I just was on the Joe Biden's capital gains rate versus the current rate. And why would any whale not bring a lot of their wealth into conventional wealth before that happens?
Well, one thing you can do is give all your Bitcoin to your parents just before they die. And then when they return to you, the tax basis is you know, benefits.
Bumped
you
up.
Yeah, then you're in good shape. Yeah. Just an idea.
Well, it's only up for good for a few million. What kind of whale are you if you only have a few million?
I don't know. I don't know how all this works. I can't say.
Pretty light whale.
Yeah. What I would say is that probably the best thing to do is to take your crypto under the table as much as you can. You can't buy yachts. You can't buy condominiums. You can't. Well, look, Henry, I don't have a problem saying this on the air. I will tell you right now, you give your money to the United States government, and they will drop $1 million bombs on $10 tents and kill people's children. So F giving money to them. I would rather never take crypto millions than give money to them.
That's only 10% of what you give them. The rest is going. A lot of it goes to provide health care for children.
No, it provides paychecks for middle class bureaucrats, and then a little bit goes to take health care for children. Half of welfare is middle class bureaucrat paychecks.
Breaking weather news. Belize is sunny and around 82 degrees every day this week.
What's the forecast for your life? If current politics and economic prospects are cramping your freedom, escape to the tropics. UCI Development has affordable second homes for you to own or rent in Belize and other tropical countries. Places with stable governments and growing economies. Secure your freedom now. To find out more, send an email to ftl@ecidevelopment.com.
Free Talk Live.
That's right, it is Free Talk Live. You are free to call in and talk live here on the airwaves. That's why we call it Free Talk Live, because it is Free Talk Live. The number, 603-283-6160. It's 603-283-6160. Mark Edge with you.
Henry Rain.
Coming to you live from the Sun Coast of Florida. Does everybody know where the Sun Coast of Florida is? I keep saying that, but I grew up here, so I don't know.
It's the south side of Tampa Bay is what. That's where we are.
Yeah.
That's how you locate us. Sun Coast, for marketing purposes, is Manatee and Sarasota County. So it's like the 70 miles south from the south side of Tampa Bay.
Right.
And then you've got Fort Myers and Naples are named something else now.
Yeah,
you know, they Gold Coast or something. Cut themselves off and be more ritzy glitzy, and then
they can have it.
I think Fort Lauderdale the Gold Coast.
I don't know. I mean,
there's a place now called Palm Coast, which actually one of the cities is named Palm Coast, which is just I don't like that.
There's a lot of coast in Florida, but ours is the best.
Yeah.
Siesta Key was named the whitest beach sand in the world several times.
We've got one of the greatest rivers in Florida.
Which one's that?
The Manatee River.
Manatee River is, what was it? Charles Gamble said, was it Robert Gamble? I don't know. I've got the name
it
wrong.
It doesn't matter. The Gamble Mansion is where Manatee Sugar was a brand name before the Civil War. Something about the Civil War, you know, they cut off the supplies, something like that. Yep. But we were rocking the sugar market in New York City back in the 40s and 50s, 1840s and 50s.
1840s and 50s.
Oh, man. Glory days.
It's the slave sugar, and I think that might have done something there. I'm just saying. So, anyway, we're talking about we were talking about these guys, these politicians in Florida, and their sugar babies, these prostitutes, these underage prostitutes they had. And we were
just
also,
one.
It was only one?
Just one that was underage.
Okay.
They had quite a few other ones that they entertained.
Well, that changes it.
Paid for the textbooks, classes, and stuff.
That changes it a little bit for me, in so much as they weren't targeting underage prostitutes. You know, they knew the age of this one because her name was Vintage 1999, which is salacious as it could possibly be.
And let me restate it. They had their choice of many young, beautiful prostitutes, and they put a whole lot of effort into the 17-year-old one, to the point of breaking numerous laws, allegedly going across state lines, trafficking in minors, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I don't understand. Maybe she's just quite the gem. I have no idea. But, it's weird stuff, and I'm glad when politicians are held to account, because these are the ones making the laws, these are the ones pounding the desk for the enforcement of laws, and then these are the ones that just choose to break laws whenever they feel like it.
Well, and this is one of the things that we haven't talked about, but I've said it to other people, I said it before, because, you know, people talk about Hunter Biden. They talk about other people that have gotten caught in bad situations. In this country, we have devised, by deliberate effort, and for good reasons too in some ways, legal corruption. We allow influence peddling. We allow graft. We allow those things. We redefine them and legalize them within a certain parameters. And some people, with all the money coming in that they can make from so many different ways, they still got to have a little bit more. So much like those two politicians, all the money that was coming in, other than, you know, the the alleged bad checks and loans and stuff like that on Joel Greenberg. Somewhere there was money, legal money coming through. Well, all that money that they could take in legally and have all these beautiful women, they still wanted what they couldn't have. So all these greedy people that are making it in. I could go on this for a long time about Hunter Biden and John Kerry's son and all those others that were doing the legal, what we would think of as corruption.
Oh, yeah.
That were like, hands off Hunter Biden. You know, we got a good thing going. We don't need to do what you're doing and screw it all up.
Right. So was Hunter Biden doing illegal things? I don't know about this story too much because
you mean, the crack and that stuff like that. That's and the hookers and stuff like that.
And you know, and people give Trump's children problems, and it seems like, you know, they seem like well kept young people. I don't know anything about them.
We're going to open up too many different sleazy business deals.
There's a lot of sleazy stuff that goes on.
Start with the Hunter Biden one.
This is the reason that I just say, look, they're all liars and thieves. And that's where we start with. Why do we need liars and thieves to rule us in order to have order and not descend into chaos? That doesn't make any sense to me. Somehow there's got to be a better way than what we're currently doing. And people just act like, well, that's it. We got to have this. You got to have liars and thieves in charge.
All right. So let's look at two different people that associated in business with Hunter Biden. John Kerry's stepson, Theresa Hines' natural son, and Beau Biden, the late Biden brother.
Yeah.
So, and Joe Biden's younger brother. Joe Biden's younger brother and Hunter Biden formed a consulting business.
Right.
Influence peddling.
Influence peddling.
But legal at that point.
Yeah.
And
the Clinton Foundation made sure it was.
And in one report, Beau Biden was brought into that company. And when, I can't remember the verbiage exactly, but when the verbiage was said by the Uncle Biden, he said, I want nothing to do with this. If you ever say this again, you're not going to see him again. The Hines kid, he was partners with Hunter Biden in an investment. We've heard about them in for China and things like that. But when he took the board seat on Burisma, the natural gas company in Ukraine, Hines said, I can't be part of this. And the second part, the unsaid part, the part you're not supposed to say out loud, I got too many good things going
right.
to let you screw it up on this. Well,
did Hunter Biden not have too many good things going, or he was just...
He was an addict.
Yeah. That's pretty much how it goes. So this is how we get kind of caught up, and it's like, I just don't understand why people don't hold these folks to account. Why is it that we have to have the worst possible choices for politicians? I'm reminded of that Simpsons episode where Homer Simpson unmasks the two Republican and Democrat running for president, and it's fanged, tentacled aliens, Krang and Krunk
because
or something.
All like the people that we have for leaders are humans.
Well,
of the human race is this stuff.
Are there
Mark.
Better and worse humans?
Yeah.
Why is it that the worst humans get the best, the highest positions?
Who said these were the worst?
Hunter, are you kidding me? Joe Biden?
At the top of the food chain?
Trump, these aren't the worst?
Trump is pushing the envelope a little bit, but he's...
Well, you're a Democrat, though, so you're going to say that. But, I mean, the Republicans say that Joe Biden is crooked, and he is. If his son is doing this stuff and he's not stopping him,
can't,
that's
if
crooked.
If A, not B there, but you can say... If you were to say to me, I don't want to say this on the radio because I'm too kind, but if you were to say to me, Joe Biden is surrounded by a family of grifters, his younger brother defaulted on a loan when Joe Biden first became a county commissioner in Pennsylvania and walked away from it because his brother was the county commissioner, I would say, well, Joe Biden didn't break the law, but that family's a little sketchy around him.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, if you don't disown, if you're a politician and you want to be the stalwart paladin of justice, you need to say,
wanted to be that. He wanted to be county commissioner.
Well, you want to be county commissioner, then you want to be a senator, then you want to be president.
Yeah.
And you want to be all those things and hang out with crooked people. That makes you crooked. I don't need anything else. I don't have to believe
it's
that he touched
crooked.
That lady in the 90s.
It's not crooked to default on a loan. It's bad character.
Well, crooked and bad character live in the same zip code.
They aren't the same residents, though.
As far as I'm concerned, all of the stuff that was just mentioned says to me, without anything else, no other information. I don't need any other information about Joe Biden. Crooked. That's all I need to know. If you went into my family and said, what did his dad do? What did his mom do? You know, what did his immediate family do? You wouldn't find anything that even sounds like that.
They have anywhere near that kind of money?
No. The reason they have that money is they stole it from people. They earned their money. Free Talk Live.
Honest graph.
603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Free Talk Live. Talk Live, the number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. Do so. It'll make Henry feel better. It's Mark with you.
And Henry, and this is on my mind.
It's honest graph. Everybody is talking these days about Tammany men growing rich on graft. But nobody thinks of drawing the distinction between honest graft and dishonest graft.
There you go. The words of a great American politician. You asked about a great politician, George Washington Plunkett. Put it in writing, way back in the 1800s, the difference between honest graft and dishonest graft. Dishonest graft, they get involved with the drug dealers, the protection rackets, taking advantage of people, honest graft. So you're an investor. You're a businessman. There's going to be a park built, and you happen to buy the tenement next to where the park is going to be built because you're wiser, you're an entrepreneur, you're taking advantage of your
insider
wisdom.
Trading.
Yeah, and you know, if there wasn't any dishonest, it wasn't a breaking of the law in whoever told you about that park going in there, then you're just a more successful entrepreneur than the next guy. That's what our country is built on.
Well, it is built on that, but I don't think anybody likes the idea. None of the people.
George Washington Plunkett thought it was a damn good idea.
I bet he did. I don't think a very large percentage of people who do not hold office think it's a good idea. Most people go into Congress not millionaires and come out millionaires. And one wonders why. I suspect it's this honest graph you refer to.
Can we rewind this to the part about most people? Say that sentence again for me.
As I understand it, and I'll look it up if you'd like, but basically, very few people go into the House of Representatives.
No. But earlier. Rewind back. You know, the part about most people wouldn't agree with that statement.
Right. The American people, not the politicians, would not like that, basically. They don't like the idea of honest graft versus dishonest graft. Okay. They don't like the idea of insider trading amongst their politicians.
What about the housing developers around here? You think they're okay with that kind of operation?
I suspect they are.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that you're talking about the very high and wealthy folks.
What about the pharmaceutical companies like the executive from Merck that was on Governor Rick Perry's in his office as a chief of staff or one of the higher ups back when he was governor, and they mandated the admission of Gardasil vaccine to all the middle school and high school girls. Do you think the fact that Merck was in there, I don't think anything that a former Merck executive was there and they were mandating a Merck vaccine, do you think anybody at Merck worried about that? Do you think the secretary is worried about that?
I think the secretaries probably didn't worry about it. They probably didn't know much about it. They just continued to do what they do. But yes, you're right. People do benefit off this. But let's not forget that the pharmaceutical companies exist. They exist because of a monopoly placed by the FDA. You have to put your stuff through the FDA's process, and it's so extraordinarily expensive that your snake oil salesman can't do it. Now, some of those snake oils worked. That's why we have aspirin.
Your cares go away real fast.
Well, aspirin exists because it existed before the pharmaceutical companies, before the FDA. It's a good medicine. And I just say the government doesn't need to be testing this stuff.
Speaking of which, I seem to be getting you agitated. Are you taking your blood pressure medicine? I don't want to be responsible for something like that. The only point I'm making is that in this country, we have a legal channel for these impulses of the human nature. And then we have people like Matt Gaetz and Joel Greenberg that isn't enough, and Hunter Biden, and we can go on and find other people too, I'm sure. But we have a culture and a society that works and functions in a certain way, and you want to throw a stick in the gears. You don't want the ball bearings to spin freely. You want to be righteous.
Well, no, what I want is fairness and justice. And I think everybody wants that stuff until it applies to them. Mm-hmm. And I say apply it to everybody, especially the politicians, the ones who will want to apply it to people. I think there's a different set of rules for those that are in power and those with money than there are for those of us who are not in power and don't have money. And I think that the rules should frankly be looser on us, the serfs that feed those bastards, than those bastards. The bastards need chains to tie them down. That's what I would say.
You're absolutely right. The rules on us are better than the rules on us 50 years ago. They're better than the rules on us 100 years ago. So something does improve. And even though there are all these people that you call corrupt, that I just call sort of sleazy, that stay within the law, the laws evolve, the laws improve.
How am I freer than I was 50 or 100
years
ago?
That isn't what you asked me.
Well, I said the
well,
rules.
Well, actually, just asked me that.
The
now,
rules were better, is what you say.
Talking about.
And the rules.
The rules improve.
Well, what's that mean? I could open a business with almost no paperwork 50 years ago. Now I can.
Okay. And that was good?
Yes.
You know,
I don't need to ask some suspicious bureaucrat if I open a business.
No, you know, that's how much of the Iran-Contra conspiracy ran. Is the fact that the state of Florida had temporary corporations because we only had to do everything with paper, and they didn't want to create the whole file system for something that might go away. So they created companies that took loans from savings and loans to fund the Iran-Contra thing, and they realized they could make money by bankrupting the company in quick enough time, and then the paper trail would disappear in a few months in Tallahassee in the 80s. So actually what you just complained about is an improvement of the rules.
Well,
and what you like is when more people politicians, can act corruptly like those Iran-Contra conspirators. Why are you so pro-Iran-Contra conspirators?
I have no idea what you're talking about. So what I would say,
right.
I don't know if that's true. What I would say, in fact, is that just because sleazy politicians use the rules that existed at the time, I mean, look, they funneled money and killed people.
All right. Before, we had all these we didn't have very many rules on securities and exchange. And when Franklin Delano Roosevelt got the Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, set up, he went to Joe Kennedy, one of the biggest manipulators and I won't say scammers, but one of the biggest manipulators in the stock market, to write the rules. And the rules were better than they were when Joe Kennedy was making his fortune.
I think the rules in the stock market tend to be better. But I still think they're enforced in an uneven fashion.
I wish we had somebody that would come on the air and speak to us and explain to you, Mark, why you're wrong and I'm right.
Well, they will. They're at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160 here on Free Talk Live. Look, all I'm saying is that we have more laws than anyone can read in four lifetimes. If you spent your entire life reading laws, you wouldn't be able to read all the laws in the United States.
Why we work in committees.
The committees are just more people back scratching and log rolling. It's
you're,
a bad system.
Talk about it's a bad thing.
Yes, it's a bad thing. But graft is bad. Good graft is bad. Bad graft is bad. Free Talk Live, what do you think? 603-283-6160.
The Terran Federation and the Terran League have been killing each other for decades. Sheltered, wealthy, and light years from the threat, the members of the 500 have no interest in changing that. When Rear Admiral Terrence Murphy is given governorship of a backwater system, a risk-free path to wealth and power is his for the taking. But Murphy is a man of honor, duty, and responsibility. He intends to stop the killing, whatever the cost. Governor by David Weber and Richard Fox from BaneBooks.com.
Talk live. Call in. Talk about whatever is on your mind. It's Mark with you.
Henry Range.
The number 603-283-6160. Pardon me. 603-283-6160. And let's get right to your calls. Well, actually, I have to do a little bit of reading of live reads here. Captain, the live reads are not available to me here. I should have downloaded them in a different fashion. Can you help me out with what needs to be read? Captain, are you there? Apparently not.
Yes, sorry. I am here.
Okay. I need a live read read. We haven't got any of this stuff done. We're in a different location here. We're down in the Gulf of coast of Florida.
Where are we at? Fort Fast, Liberty Stickers?
The one that pays. Do Liberty Stickers.
All right. Do you want to reach people with the ideas of liberty? Well, yes, I do. Well, you can do it now from the back of your car with libertystickers.com. You can reach thousands of people with a bumper sticker, and you know that people love to read them. You can check out the vast selection of witty, poignant, pithy, and downright bombastic liberty-oriented messages at libertystickers.com. Again, libertystickers.com.
Perfect. Thank you, Captain.
My pleasure.
Captain's been running the board here while we try to do this show remotely. Here
and screening calls.
Yeah, and screen calls. Thank you. Well, I guess this, I always thought of that the same thing. Producer. You're the head producer tonight. Is that a promotion?
I produce what? Wait, do I add that to my title? I'll be like head producer, Lord, Reverend, Dr. Captain Kickass.
Put it on your resume.
That's a lot to say.
So Henry and I are coming here from Bradenton, Florida, the WWPR studios. And we've been talking about all kinds of stuff tonight, including crooked politicians. And so let's go to Tony calling in from Chattanooga. Tony, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, good evening. How you doing, guys?
All's well. Hello, Tony?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Go ahead. What's on your mind?
You're going through a drive-thru. I wanted to. Thanks. I was interested to hear your comments about honest graft. You know, I'll talk about an oxymoron. But I worked in the early 90s. I worked for a guy. It was a friend of mine, actually. I played golf with him. And he was a cocaine addict. And he announced to me one day on the golf course that he was going to run for Congress. And I said, well, I'm not going to mention his name, but I said, you know, that's how are you going to handle that? You're a cocaine addict. Yeah, but I'm in recovery. He said, I'm going to run this election year. I know I'm going to get beat, but the person I'm running against has announced this is her last term. And so I'm going to run. I'll get all the coke stuff out of the way. And then 2 years later, I'll run for Congress and I'll win. And that's exactly what he did.
I bet it worked.
Before, it worked. Worked like a charm. 2 years later, nobody remembered. Not that I really cared that he was a cocaine addict. I mean, that was his problem. He was generally a good guy. But he'd been a somewhat successful real estate agent before then. But in the early 90s, he was probably making at most $40,000, maybe $50,000 a year. And he became part of the Republican, the freshman class of 94, let's say. And 14 years later, when he left Congress, he was worth about $10 million.
Surprise, surprise, and, surprise.
Yeah.
I love stories of redemption.
Yeah. And then the next thing he did, he tried to run his 25-year-old son as a as a congressman, unfortunately for the son and the rest of us, that didn't work out.
But, what was that? He tried to run his 25-year-old son, what?
He tried to run, after he left Congress, he tried to run his 25-year-old son, you know, to replace him. And fortunately for the son and for the rest of us, that just didn't work. But, you know, he left. And
I worked for him about three campaigns, and I saw him turn into just another politician. I said, that's enough of that. But, you know, I don't think he did anything illegal, but did he engage in honest graft? Well, almost certainly.
He didn't get $10 million or whatever he got in no way at all. Thank you for the call, Tony. I appreciate it. This, Henry, is the problem I have with the system, and I think everybody does. I mean, look, Tony quit his campaign, to get his quit his friend's campaign over this stuff.
What kind of friend is Tony?
What kind, indeed. I think you're taking a a devil's advocate role here, but you, I would agree.
I'm surely not taking Jesus'
advocate. Listen, thanks for the call, Tony.
Congress is a certain level. Senate is a whole nother level, and of course, the presidency is a whole nother level like that. The fact that you want those positions, you're already a defective person.
You're a sociopath, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, no, there's something, a need in you, a narcissism, who knows what. But I remember I was helping somebody on a congressional campaign. I was the co-chair of the campaign, and at that time, Senator Bill Nelson, the last Democratic senator from Florida that got defeated 3 or 4 years ago by our former governor Rick Scott, the Republican with the tall bald hair that was allegedly defrauded Medicare as the CEO of HCA for hundreds of millions of dollars. Anyway, that's who the people chose. But we went to a dinner, and for 3 hours, Senator Nelson was there and he spoke, and then people asked him questions. But even when they weren't in the question asking for him, everybody was coming up to him, like whispering in his ear, asking him a little question, and there were only maybe 50 people in the room, but he spent 3 hours just all people coming up to him wanting something, yep. Wanting something. Congress people can actually get away and actually get to themselves a little bit. But if you're one of the two senators from a state,
no.
That's your life. And you go, why do you want to do this? And you're going to spend, you know, why would anybody want to spend their time doing living like that? Why does anybody want to run for president and go through that, take their family through that? How self-centered and narcissistic do you have to be to want to be president?
I feel like, well, I certainly think that presidents are narcissistic and self-centered and all those things. But I don't feel like you can get away with high-level graft in that particular position. Like, for instance...
That's what you have family for.
Indeed.
let me just interrupt just a tiny second. So I have read that Joe Biden did not get involved in stock equities or anything like that. His money was put through real estate deals. And all I'm saying, I'm not characterizing the deals one way or the other, but you think about a real estate deal, that's one of the least examined things.
Oh, yeah.
Compared to stock and insider trading and stuff like that. It's
there's also these deals that politicians tend to get on really great loans. They get loans that just aren't available to you and me with terms that just aren't available to you and me. And it's probably because the banks, you know, own governments worldwide.
Let me tell you about a hypothetical anecdote that probably could happen somewhere close by. I was in a room with a car dealer. And it wasn't his dealership. He was just there sort of kibitzing and had been in town for a long, long time. He sat on the board of a bank. Not on the board of a bank, on the loan committee of a bank. And there were he and two other men. And this won't – I can't tell this in a minute, so we can table it and for another
time. Well, go ahead and tell it. We'll finish up.
So let's just say hypothetically a loan for the sheriff of the county came in. And the
notoriously corrupt sheriff?
I'm not saying it's corrupt. It's just a wishful thinking sheriff that wanted a really favorable loan. And the car dealer said, well, we don't do this for anybody. Why would we do this? I don't think we should do this. And the one person said, well, I do business with him, and I got to recuse myself. And the third person said, tell you what, I feel you feel strongly about this. You make the decision on this loan. We'll go with whatever your decision is.
And this is the car dealer making the decision?
Yes.
Okay.
For the bank.
All right.
And he said, I'm not taking this on. He'll close my dealership up as soon as I deny him a loan. And the third person says, that's exactly right, because I would have called him as soon as we came out of this room.
Talk Live. It's the final segment of Free Talk Live. It's Mark with you.
And Henry. This is the final segment. This is just when you tell me I've been right the whole show.
Yeah, right.
And you've had an epiphany.
It doesn't work that way, Henry. No, but you're free to talk.
Tomorrow's show, then.
Indeed. It is going to be you and I on the air tomorrow. Maybe we'll bring in somebody else after we get things sort of ironed out, but at this point, it's you and I. So, right now, the phone lines are full. We've got David in New Mexico and looks like Dan in Michigan, and we'll get to them here shortly. So, I'm not going to give out the telephone number, but we will be back on the air from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and if we're not on your radio station, we're at freetalklive.com. So let's go to the phones. We've got David in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
What did you call the captain? Head what?
The producer.
Head producer? Is that kind of like a fluffer?
Why don't you just go ahead?
Oh, okay. Well, they kind of do the same thing, you know. But
I guess calling him that would depend on our performance, right?
I guess it was.
Yeah, well, there you go. See, I'm onto something here. I told you. Mm-hmm. So I'm calling to disparage the government.
You're onto an FCC violation. Please go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I'm calling to disparage the government, and before you...
you picked the right radio show.
All right. So this call is to accomplish two things. One, it's to put it out in the public, publish it, that I am being retaliated and against by law enforcement and threatened mildly, and you'll see how in a minute. So, does it annoy you when your car gets stolen, first of all?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, how about if it gets stolen twice in 24 hours? Does that bother you?
Yes.
Okay, and if it gets, so then it probably bothers you also if it gets stolen three times in 2 weeks, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that happened to my neighbors here, and so 1, 2, 3. 3 weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago, somewhere in that range, I noticed somebody was stealing a neighbor's vehicle. So I
you did call
the cops.
In about that, yeah.
Yeah, I called the cops, and they show up like a half hour later. A good thief would have been long gone already. This one was still around. They detained the dude. And determined that he indeed was trying to steal the vehicle, but the homeowner, the property owner, was not locatable at the moment, and so they let the car thief go because technically they did not have a victim. So the cop said,
"That's bizarre."
Okay, and that's bizarre. Okay, now and then the next question is, okay, so then the very next day, the homeowner confirmed to the cops that, no, we didn't give him permission to take that car. He was indeed stealing that car because we didn't give him permission to take it. And the cops said, ID'd the guy. And so you would think that, okay, well, now it's the next day.
Warrant.
And we know he was trying to steal the car, but we didn't have a victim. And now we have a victim, so now we can go arrest him or cite him or whatever. But they don't do that. Okay, so ponder that. Number two, yesterday... a different car thief shows up at the same neighbor, and they hook up to the same car that the previous car thief was trying to steal. And this one, I immediately call the cops, and I also call the neighbor who was not present at the moment, obviously. And 43 minutes later, the cops still did not show up, and they never did. However, the homeowner shows up 2 minutes after the thieves left with the vehicle. And while I'm on the phone with the cops, watching the thieves take the vehicle, the cop who does not like me because I criticized the performance of their dispatchers, which are not very bright, the cop says, what's your address? We're going to send the officers to talk to you. And I'm like, well, wouldn't you rather go to the scene of the crime where there is at this very moment, while I'm looking at them and simultaneously reporting it to you, there is a crime in progress. Wouldn't you rather go there first? And he says, no, they want to come and talk to you. And the reason is obviously to me, because I had criticized them to their ears, the performance, their
now,
job
let
performance.
Let me ask you this, David. Why is this guy getting his car stolen over and over? I mean, I've never had two thieves in 2 weeks try to steal the same car.
Two different thieves, yeah. They apparently have identified that the owner of the property lives a couple miles away. He had recently purchased this additional property and has not yet put a renter or anybody into it, and so it's unoccupied with a vehicle that was parked stored in the garage.
So they stole it out of a garage.
Yeah, they hooked onto it and with a four wheel drive and dragged it out backwards.
Is there some kind of network for car thieves? I mean, how in the world do they know all this?
What kind of car was it, by the way,
David?
Pardon?
What kind of car was it?
Oh, just some old sedan, nothing special. But then today they stole a third car theft and a successful theft to a second car and a second neighbor happened today. And that's the kicker to the whole thing is the thief from yesterday that got away with the vehicle at 2:30 in the morning. I noticed that same truck and thief and trailer were running around the neighborhood casing the place looking for other things to steal. But I didn't bother to call the cops because I didn't want to be detained in the middle of the night for bothering the police again with another car theft. So I just ignored it after I watched what he was doing. And then I get up in the morning, and at about 9:10 in the morning, that same truck comes back again and goes to a second neighbor, and I watch him, and he hooks up to that neighbor's truck or car, loads that car up, and drives away with it.
You sure this isn't a repo truck?
No, it's not. I don't call the cops because I'm not ever calling the cops again for anything because they are retaliating against me.
It's the truth that, if you get on the bad side of law enforcement, it's really ugly
it's
for you.
It's a bad side to be on.
Yeah, it's a bad side to be on. Let's go to Dan in Michigan. Dan, you're on Free Talk Live.
Okay, hey. How you guys doing? Hey, just want to make a few comments on your guests there talking about politicians and stuff. This is the real world. This is what the real world people are seeing out here. It all started with Lois Lerner. She gets caught doing her dastardly deeds with the IRS. What happened?
Who's Lois Lerner?
Oh, you get it. Yeah, Lois Lerner, the IRS gal, back during Obama, where she was refusing to give the permits or whatever to the Republican Party.
The conservative parties, yeah. Supposedly targeting conservative organizations.
So she gets, yeah. So right off the bat, you get immunity from prosecution, Lois Lerner, but come on in and testify for us. Oh, okay. Is your name Lois Lerner? I plead the fifth. Every question she asks, I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth. Oh, because you get immunity from prosecution, you're okay. You can go ahead and tell us. Nope, I plead the fifth. Next thing, Hillary Clinton, illegal server, illegal emails. Her entire crew of people that ran the illegal server, all of them were given immunity from prosecution before even one single question was asked of them. They brought them in front of Congress. Here, let's testify. Oh, I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth. Is your name John Doe? I plead the fifth. Jeez, oh, Pete. Now, what do we get next? Nancy Pelosi says, nobody is above the law when she was talking about Trump.
But yes, of course.
Every Democrat is above the law. They all get immunity from prosecution.
Do you really think it's just one party? I mean,
pardon me?
Do you really think it's just one party, Dan? Because these guys we're talking about in Florida are definitely Republicans.
Right. I'm just saying, how is anybody supposed to be expected to trust our government when every day all we see is crooked dealings? Nobody is treated properly. There is no interest in justice. Oh, I know. There's a problem in the FBI. Ah, we'll appoint Mr. Durham. He's going to make a Durham report. What happened to it?
I don't know, but as far as I'm concerned, the FBI is, frankly, a pretty unprofessional organization. After they raided my studio and they seem to be doing the very best to take Free Talk Live off the air and ruin our First Amendment rights and presumably the same rights, the First Amendment rights of 500,000 listeners, I don't really have much use for them. But, as far as I'm concerned, Washington, D.C. should probably be sawed off and shoved out into the Potomac, and we shouldn't have to deal with it anymore. Andrew, what do you think? I mean, justice means just us.
How much deductible that guy had on his car insurance policy.
The guy who had the car stolen twice?
I think that was a repo guy.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a really strange story, but What can I tell you?
Why was he sticking his car where somebody away from his residence?
Well, I do have David still on the line, so I'll just go ahead and bring him on. David?
Yeah.
Why did that guy still have his car there after it's been attempted to be stolen once?
Because it was inoperable and it came with the property. He got it with the property and it was inoperable.
They stole an inoperable car?
Yeah, that's why they had to drag it out.
It's bizarre. Thank you for the call, David. Check us out at freetalklive.com. Thank you. Good night.
On March 16th of this year, a joint government task force raided the New Hampshire Bitcoin Embassy, the Mighty Moose Mart, the homes of Aria DiMezzo, Andy and Renee Spinella, Colleen Fordham, a grandmother, and perhaps most relevant, the studios of Free Talk Live. The Crypto Six were arrested, most were released, but Rich Paul, also known as Nobody, and Ian Freeman both remain in custody. We've been in contact with attorneys that say no crime even appears to have been committed, but that didn't stop the Joint Thug Task Force from ripping out wires from the back of our broadcast stacks, taking Free Talk Live off the air, violating our and your First Amendment rights. You can go to thecrypto6.com and donate to fight against these charges, but as importantly, contact media and tell them about this outrage. This case is likely to set precedent for the use of cryptocurrency well into the future. Help our fight for liberty and financial freedom at thecrypto6.com.